And I am Wireless Mike sitting in for Magneto Mel. And right now we're joined with Elliot Simpson. And he's with the NTSB, and you're an air safety investigator, correct?
That's correct, yep.
Yes. And some people go, what does an air safety investigator do? And more importantly, what do you do when something bad happens and when there's a crash? And it's something none of us want. We want you to have the most boring job in the world. But unfortunately, that's not the case all the time. So what do you do when you have an incident and a crash that you need to investigate?
Well, we're really the boots on the ground. We're kind of the sharp end of the NTSB. I'm a regional aviation investigator based out of Los Angeles. I'm one of about 44 regional investigators all over the country. We focus most of our time being regional on general aviation, civil aviation, obviously. And we do between about 40 and 50 accidents a year.
And that's just in your region?
Sorry, 40 to 50 per investigator in our region. About 1,700 total all over the country.
Okay. So that's more accidents than I would have thought that you would have to investigate in any given year. So if you hear there's an accident, they send you to the scene. Who goes with you, and what do you do to start it out?
Well, typically in the western region that I'm in, we have three to four investigators on call for 1 week out of every month. So generally, if I was the number one out of the door for the next accident, I would be on telephone duty 24 hours a day for a week. I have to be on call and ready to go. And we have to be ready to launch within about 2 hours of notification of an accident. So for example, I'm at home, it's a weekend, and I get a call mid-afternoon that there's been an accident that rises to the level of a launch. If I'm the investigator in charge for that accident, then I'll spend the next 2 hours organizing travel, calling law enforcement who are actually at the accident site, talking with insurance companies, recovery companies, witnesses, but primarily arranging travel and trying to gather as much information as I can before I head on a flight or drive in the car to the accident site. Usually I'll go on my own. If it's a general aviation accident, we'll just send one NTSB investigator. I'll arrive on scene either later that night or the following morning. And again, we can't be experts in every field of aviation. So we will generally bring, or at least invite, a member of maybe the engine manufacturer or the fuselage airframe company. They usually send a representative to assist us, and there will almost always be an FAA inspector on scene to assist as well. Once we arrive on scene, there's a kind of a romantic CSI image of us. Not necessarily the case. Generally, we arrive often in rural areas with law enforcement presence who have not seen an aircraft accident before. So there's a lot of management, almost instruction with law enforcement. We're working with the coroner, working with the fire department, witness interviews, gathering perishable evidence, really, talking to family members who often arrive on scene. The real purpose is, once we launch, once we get there, is to gather what we can in the next couple of days, because it's usually gone. Fuel, for example, witnesses are perishable, indications of witness marks, damage to trees, anything that will be gone in a couple of days, we gather as quickly as we can at the beginning of the launch phase of the investigation.
Okay, and because a lot of that stuff, like you said, the fuel can evaporate, and you don't know how much is left.
Right.
And what is your time frame for gathering a lot of that critical information?
It's all very variable. Depends on the accident. Depends on where it is. If it's on the 110 freeway in downtown LA in Russia, then a time period is probably about 30 minutes. If it's in woods in the middle of nowhere, then, you know, we can take our time, which is always the preferred way to do it. But generally, the aircraft is recovered by the following day.
Okay, and you said you have a lot of people who come with you, like the engine manufacturer or the airframe manufacturer. What role do they play in helping with this investigation?
We call them parties to the investigation. They're basically technical advisors. They are investigators within each company who specialize in safety and accident investigation with the company. They assist us if we have technical questions. They can get back to their office, or they can look up on laptop, you know, a specific flap cable routing or performance information for an aircraft at a, you know, at that particular accident site. So they're really there as just technical advisors.
Okay.
FAA is another technical advisor. They're not there to investigate the accident. They provide us with FAA information, radar, for instance, or voice data communications information.
Yeah, because the FAA is a very broad umbrella of many, many different people. With people who help you get your certificates, people who help take away your certificates. We don't like to talk about them so much. But also everybody with the radar and ATC, that's all FAA. So there's a lot of information there. All right, so you get all this information, you gather all this information, and then what do you go and do with it?
Well, we gather, again, the perishable information. We have the airplane recovered. And generally over the next couple of weeks, things start to gel. If we think it's necessary, then I'll take the wreckage away. We have recovery yards located around the country. We'll go back a week or two later once we have more information, once we have radar, once we have more information to put the picture together. And we'll do a more thorough investigation in a more comfortable environment. You know, if we're starting to focus in on one particular area, like the engine, then we can spend a couple of days tearing the engine down to absolutely nothing. And then the process, you know, for instance, an autopsy can take 3 months to arrive. So things start to slow down and peter out over the next 3 or 4 months. We get toxicology information, takes 3 months to revise. And really, that's really the next 3 months. Things are starting to slow down.
Okay. And how much of the actual, as you said, autopsy information do you actually do hands-on, or do you contract that kind of stuff off?
We don't do any of that. We can go to the autopsy if we want, it's all done by the local coroner.
Right. I always thought you were referring to autopsy of like the airplane and taking the engine apart.
That's a sick for the air. Yeah, I'm sorry, a little too graphic.
Putting the airplane and taking the airplane apart and to try and find out what failed. How much of that stuff do you do?
Hands-on, we'll do it all. We'll have often reps there. We'll lay everything out. Lay everything out, because once you've lay an aircraft out, you can really get a better idea of how it came in, which can kind of help you along the way. But after a few weeks, we're kind of getting an idea as to where to focus, and we'll do whatever it takes, mm-hmm. whether it requires taking a motor apart, taking it down to nothing, or sending off a flat motor to its manufacturer for a good detailed deconstruction. We'll do whatever it takes.
Okay, and so are you a mechanic? Do you do some of this stuff hands-on, or do you rely on other people?
A combination of both.
Okay.
I can't be the expert in every system, so we'll usually go to the manufacturer and we'll oversee as they use their specialists to disassemble parts.
Sure. And that makes a lot of sense, because there's a lot of aircraft. There's no way any one person could know all of them and every component of them. So then you get all this information. You've come to some sort of conclusion. Then what do you end up doing once you have you know what happened? What do you end up doing?
Well, it's one important thing to note that as an investigator, I don't determine the cause of an accident. I just provide a factual report that can take about 9 months.
Okay.
So I provide the factual report, and then the board processes a brief and determines the probable cause from the accident based on my factual information.
Okay, so you're giving them like a big thick document with the facts in it, and then they go through and review those facts and try and determine a probable cause.
Right, and the facts that I give them are the facts that you see on the website. The factual report on our website is the factual data that is provided to the board.
Okay, and how long does it take once you give that information to the board for them to review it and come up?
It's about 30 to 90 days, but you can on our website it actually tells you an estimated time of completion for the probable cause.
Okay, and you've been trying to, at the NTSB, limit all of your investigations to 1 year or less, is that correct?
Yes, that's correct, yeah.
But yet you don't say, we're at a year, we must be done. I mean, if something larger comes up.
Absolutely. If it requires more than a year, then we'll spend more than a year.
Okay, and then when this report finally comes out and the board rules on it and says the probable cause is this, what happens to that from that point?
In what aspect? The data is published on our website. It becomes freely available to anyone who wants it.
Okay, and then they also try to make recommendations?
Absolutely, yes. The board, based on that accident, and as through the investigation process, you know, we don't wait until the end to make recommendations. If there's something early on in the process that clearly there's a recommendation we need to make, we'll make it early on in the process before the final report is completed.
And you work with the FAA. Are you specifically, do you end up doing that, or is that more of an aspect of that what the board does?
It's a combination of both. Depending on the, sometimes it's very easy. We can, as an investigator, we can just talk to the FAA or talk to the manufacturer and get them to make process changes or whatever it is that needs that we feel would be assist aviation safety. But if it's a little bit more complex, then it goes up towards the board and we get far more people involved in it. But often you can get a lot done just as an investigator yourself.
Do you find a lot of the recommendations you make are on a technical aspect or more of like a pilot training aspect?
Across the board.
Across the board,
yeah.
And I suppose every accident is completely different.
Absolutely, yeah.
So, and when you're on call, how often do you actually get called out?
Well, we'll, out of the 50 accidents, we'll launch to about between 5 and 10 a year. That's an immediate launch. However, about half of the accidents, we call them limited investigations. We won't launch immediately. In that case, often there's no fatality, so we'll be able to speak to a pilot. But we'll very often recover the airplane and continue the investigation and go to the recovery area where we'll work on the airplane further. So we will, we'll actually travel for, you know, almost half of our accidents at some point.
Okay. And there's a whole lot of other questions that I could ask you, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners have some other questions. Let's say somebody's here on the field. Where can they come and talk to you and ask you some more questions?
Yeah, we're in the Federal Pavilion, and we have, I think we have three more shows, three more presentations we're doing before the end of the show this week. So it's Federal Pavilion. We're doing a great presentation this afternoon on air traffic control accidents, and then I have another presentation, two more presentations tomorrow.
And it, for those people who aren't here on the field or who, you know, want some information not during the air show, how can they get in touch with somebody from the NTSB?
Website, ntsb.gov. They can, you know, reach us through there. And they can obviously look at all our accident information, all our docket information is on our new website. So.
All right. Well, this has been Wireless Mike, and I've been talking with Elliot Simpson of the NTSB. And you're listening to EAA Radio.